When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast Series 6, Episode 5, just after a transfer deadline day in which Manchester United signed four players, but none of them in the right positions. Any club signing a player on deadline day has made some kind of error in the transfer market, and United finished four deals on Monday evening. But they are four signings, all with their own individual merits, and all of whom will undoubtedly strengthen United's team this season or in future campaigns. To run through the latest, we're joined today by a collection of excellent guests. I'm Harry Robinson, and first up, you'll hear from my chat this morning with the Times reporter on Manchester United, Paul Hurst, who can run us through the going-ons on deadline day and quite how United navigated the market. Later on in the show, we'll get insight into Edinson Cavani and his much younger compatriot Facundo Pellistri from Uruguayan football expert David Krakman, and we'll talk about Portuguese left-back Alex Telles with Jamie Farr, analyst for Football Radar and writer for Portugal. There's plenty to get through, so buckle in and enjoy. First up, Paul Hurst.
It must have been a pretty manic day. I mean, only 12 hours ago, we were just announcing the signing of two Uruguayans. Can you kind of try and talk us through the how United navigated the deadline day, but also how it came to all have to happen on this final day?
Well, it came to become such a mad kind of trolley dash because of the club's failure to deal properly with Borussia Dortmund. I think United were just completely found out by Dortmund and kind of, you know, even misjudged their feeling on Sancho. You know, when they said that we have a deadline of August 10th, and unless you submit this 120 million euro bid for Sancho by then you're not having it. And United kind of, I mean, they didn't dismiss it, but they were a bit sceptical about it and just thought, you know, it's part of a negotiating strategy. But they weren't bluffing. I mean, Dortmund are a very well-run club in terms of, particularly in terms of their, you know, incomings and outgoings. They, you know, they buy good young players and sell them for ridiculous profit. You know, Ousmane Dembele is a perfect example of that.
Mm.
So you know, they mean business, and I just think United underestimated their kind of staying power. I'm not sure whether they knew that Sancho had 3 years left on his deal rather than 2 years left. And, you know, as a result of that, United were left in limbo, really. They kind of just let it kind of, you know, let the weeks pass and then hope that Dortmund would climb down. And you know, they didn't. So then, as a result, you've got this kind of mad dash around Europe and South America to find some place to fill the gaps. And, you know, Pellistri and Traore may end up being brilliant young signings. But Solskjaer wanted a right winger. It's so blatant, so obvious that right wing position has been, you know, it's been one that United have struggled with for years. So Sancho was the guy to fill that, and they didn't get him. So they kind of went round, you know, collecting these players up, and then hoping that Solskjaer can can do the best with them, really. I can't offer any more of an upbeat assessment than that.
It's an all too familiar feeling, I think, from even 2 years ago, and from years before that as well, that United get a defeat just before deadline day, both in the transfer market and an embarrassing defeat on the pitch, and then follow it up with kind of a, as you say, a fill in the trolley spree of purchases. And I think it's particularly the timing of Amad Diallo and Pellestri and even Cavani, to be fair, all three deals which could have been done at the start of summer, you would think, and suddenly they're all kind of rushed through, particularly Diallo and Pellestri, who you wouldn't think would be straight in the first team.
Yeah, well, Diallo had a release clause in his contract. I think it was $10 million that was quite well known. So they could have signed him earlier in the summer. And Traore was on his sort of Diallo, Traore, I can't remember. I still don't know how to say his name properly. But he was on his way to Parma on loan yesterday until United came in. I mean, if that doesn't kind of give you an indication as to the, you know, the frenzied nature of United's transfer activity, and I don't know what will, because you know he's only played 3 games for Atalanta as well, and they've committed to a £27 million deal for him, which is just you know, and he's not going to be here till January. So I mean, it doesn't look great, and as you say, you know, after coming on the back of a 6-1 defeat, then he just it makes it look even worse. And the problems are just as bad in the outgoing department. They did manage to get rid of a few, you know, Pereira, Chong, Sanchez, which, you know, they deserve a bit of credit for getting rid of Sanchez, given the wages he was on. And obviously Dallo. But I looked at the squad this morning, and I think it's either 31 or 32 members strong now. And I know they've got a long season. I know they're in 4 demanding competitions, but just you're going to get players that aren't going to kick a ball. Like if Fosu Mensah, for example, now probably won't get on the bench or play until that Carabao Cup week just before Christmas. So what's his motivation going to be like? You know, you've got Wan-Bissaka in front of him. We presume that Brandon Williams will probably switch over to right back now. So he's probably third choice right back. You know, let's be honest, he's not covered himself in glory when he's played that much recently, although he wasn't that bad against Palace. I'm thinking more towards the end of last season. But so that's a big problem as well. I mean, the goalkeeping department's another problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I'm sorry to sound like a bit of a rant list, doesn't it? Which it probably is. But Solskjaer said to us when we were in Cologne that he couldn't have all three of them there. He couldn't have De Gea, Henderson, and Romero in the same squad.
Yeah.
You know, with Clinton, and then you've got Lee Grant, obviously, as well, who's, you know, playing an important role there. So you've got these 4 guys, and you've got Bishop, the young lad as well. So that's 5 new goalkeepers that can be training at Carrington now. I mean, Bishop can probably go out alone, but, you know, if you're Romero, what motivation have you got to go into Carrington every week, other than obviously picking up your 100 grand a week paycheck? But yeah. You know, I feel really sorry for Romero, because whenever he's played for United, he's rarely put a foot wrong, and his clean sheet record is incredible. I think he was incredibly hard done by towards the end of last season, the FA Cup and semi and Europa League semi.
Yeah.
But now he's third choice, and he's a distant third choice as well, because, you know, Henderson wouldn't have come back to United if he didn't think he'd have a proper crack at becoming number one. So that as a, you know, that could end up, you know, not helping the environment anywhere either.
I think that Romero one sums it up, because he has been a great second choice goalkeeper for United, and for a brief period in 2015, first choice. You just think it feels to me that one as if United have looked at the fact that they sold players like Nani, Van Persie, Raphael for too cheap, and that they've now kind of reverted so much and they're so scared of being made a fool of in the transfer market, even though they just have by Borussia Dortmund. They're so scared of that, that they're kind of refusing to sell people like, they're refusing to offload someone like Jones or on the other hand, Romero, who should be allowed to leave the club.
Yeah, and they it's exactly that, and they're so scared that they will offer, you know, offer them long term contracts just to quote unquote protect the asset. But the asset isn't worth protecting, is it? If you've got if you have a 3-year contract, Jones 4-year contracts, then you are really saddling yourself with a player who's not worth anything really, not. Especially now in this kind of COVID era, because Jones will be on, I presume, around 100 grand a week. So why would anyone want to A, pay a transfer fee for him, and B, pay his full wages? I mean, it's just not, you know, any club worth their salt wouldn't invest in a player who's, you know, a very good defender when he's fit, but he's very, very rarely fit. So United, in some ways, they've kind of, you know, they are the source of their own problems at the moment.
Yeah. It's as if they're learning from their mistakes, but doing so in and making even more mistakes. But there we go. I feel like we've all probably ranted enough about that in the past. But Telles and Cavani, and even Pelistri, and Van der Beek are four. The signings that people should be excited about had they happened in a different manner, I guess, but they will improve United's team at least.
Yeah, I did think yesterday when I was watching all the clips of Cavani and, you know, the big announcement from United, I thought actually, you know, it does make sense, this signing. It does bring a bit of, you know, stardust to the team, but it all comes back to the same point that. Then why did they not sign him on July 1st?
Yeah.
Why did they not sign him in January? You know, he wasn't out of PSG in January.
Yeah.
You know, they were turning their nose up at him then because they didn't want to pay his wages, but now they're paying his wages. We're in October and, you know, we're what, 5 matches down in the season.
Yeah.
So he's got games to playing with players that he's never played with before. But in a league that he's never played in before, and we're already 5 matches into the season, and they're coming on, he comes in on the back of a, you know, a walloping against Spurs. So
yeah,
I really hope he's, you know, he's good for United, because he would be, you know, the team needs a lift, doesn't it? And it would be good for Solskjaer to have a proper number 9, because I still don't think Martial's quite got it in that role. Only time will tell. I do quite like the look of the left back. You know, I just look at his scoring record, and that's quite decent as well, isn't it? Just hope he can defend, because, you know, Luke Shaw was terrible, wasn't he, on Sunday?
So something else.
You know, so maybe that'll kind of come into gear a little bit. But yeah, like you say, all those signings would be great if they come in July rather than or the end of Boston, end of the season rather than right now, 5 matches into the season.
Yeah, I think my hope with Cavani is if he can be in the midpoint between Falcao and Ibrahimovic, then he's been a good signing.
Yeah, and he brings that kind of. Does bring that leadership, and he's won loads of trophies as well. So I mean, that you look at that team, that United team now, certainly the first 11, and you don't have many Premier League winners in there. Certainly, well, there's only one who's won it with United, and that's De Gea, isn't it?
Yeah.
When, you know, that was when Mason Greenwood was practically nappies, wasn't he? It was ages ago. Matic has won it with Chelsea, Matarazzo as well, with Chelsea, but. You know, there's not very, there's a lack of kind of a winner's mentality. I know Pogba won the World Cup, but he seems to be a different beast when he's playing for France. Or he certainly did during that World Cup. And he does now. He just looks like shot, doesn't he? He looks knackered. And he doesn't have much confidence. So yeah, that winning mentality that Cavani has will help the squad, and that's certainly what United are hoping, that he will have a similar impact to Ibrahimovic when he came off the pitch as well.
Yeah, well, you have to hope so. I'll let you get back to
more misery. Yeah.
yeah.
Thank you for
brilliant. Thank you very much for doing it.
No, cheers, Harry. Thanks a lot.
Brilliant. Thank you. Bye. Have a good day.
Take it. You too. See you.
Bye. You can, of course, find Paul Hurst's work in The Times, and he's on Twitter at HurstClass. We're going to talk to David Krakman now, the man behind the Twitter account Warriors of Uruguay, who have covered the Uruguayan game since 2016. United signed Edinson Cavani on a one-year deal on Monday with an option for an extra 12 months. Cavani left Paris Saint-Germain in the summer after almost a decade at the club that he joined from Napoli. And United also signed 18-year-old winger Facundo Pellistri from Peñarol, one of Uruguay's biggest football clubs. Pellistri joins for around $10 million on a long-term contract. So to talk us through both of those deals and what we can expect from these two Uruguayan players is David Krakman.
Well, so Cavani has been a free agent since June, and he has been in talks with a lot of clubs in this period, mainly with Benfica, Atletico Madrid. But it's mainly the agency and the high wages which has put him off of signing for those clubs. And he has said, or his agent has said earlier, that if we want to go for money, we will go to England. You know, he said it a bit jokingly. Now, of course, he went to England. You can say, did he go for money? I don't believe that. But the problem is that he was really asking for a lot of money. So this is why his deal has become a deadline day deal. So now he's at United. I think he can be a good signing. But there's always a big if for Cavani in these last years. And that's his injuries, his injury record. So he's been struggling a lot with this. And he's played, I don't think, not more than 20 games last season for Paris Saint-Germain. So it's an issue. This is an issue that maybe he will have at United as well. But if he can stay fit, he will for sure bring a lot of quality. Like you said, he's been criticized as well by many people for missing a lot of chances. But the problem with this is that a lot of people watch some games of him in Europe, and they have this image of him missing a few chances in the game, and they stick this image on him. But there's a lot more to Cavani.
Yeah, and yeah, he's not just a very good striker, and he's a proper number nine in a way that perhaps Anthony Martial of Manchester United is not, or Marcus Rashford. And Cavani, not just a great number nine, but as a character, what do you think he will give to United? You say you don't think he's just come for the money. What do you think he has come for?
I think playing in England is, for any player, is a big challenge in the Premier League. So this is something that he will probably love to do at one day in his career. And also, this is the club where Forlan has played, and Forlan is a big role model for him as well. And I think Cavani, like you say, he's a lot more than just the goals. He is a really unique character in the world of football. And I think certainly for young players like Pellistri, who's coming, but also Greenwood, Martial, Rashford, a bit older, but also still a bit inexperienced, he can set an example from. So this is how you do it when you want to be successful for 10 years, 15 years. Because even though he scored over 400 goals, he is working like he's trying to prove himself as an 18-year-old. This is how he plays for Uruguay. I can remember the World Cup game against Portugal, where he scored two amazing goals. He was playing as a left-back, left midfielder in the second half to work for his team to get the result over the line. This is a player, this is how Cavani plays, and it is so much more than goals. And for me, for any team, it's a big, big plus to have him. Even if it is not in his prime anymore, he still brings a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's positive to hear. You mentioned Diego Forlan there. Forlan, who managed Peñarol, not anymore, but managed Peñarol, one of Uruguay's biggest teams, and was in charge of the development of Facundo Pellistri, the 18-year-old right winger who's joined United for around £10 million. It's not a cheap deal, but it could prove great value if Pelistri is a great player. What do you think? How has Pelistri broken through in Uruguayan football? And what do you think of his ability?
Well, he broke through after Brian Rodriguez, another talented player from Uruguay, left to LAFC. So kind of a spot opened up and Pelistri was ready to grab this one because he is a real talented player. You can see he is still so young because sometimes he does things that you think, well, that's amazing. And then he just makes a stupid pass or something like that. But you can see he has the talent. He's a player who plays, well, like whatever comes to his mind, he does it. It's not right. Like he's pre-programmed, and he's a good dribbler. Also has a nice vision for his age, but the obvious flaws for him is his end product and making an impact in the box. But for young wingers, this is not something that you should be worried about, because you can see for your own club with Cristiano Ronaldo, he was, well, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to compare him in any way, but so this is something that can be worked on.
Yeah.
And like you said, the fee, it's no peanuts. It's not a lot in the context of the English market. But it's all still a big fee for him, for a player like him. And it's difficult for me to see how this next 2 years will go. Will he play for the youth side? Will he get loaned out? I don't know what will happen. And these are 2-3 important years for him, because you see a name like Marlos Moreno. He was signed by Manchester City a few years back.
Yeah.
And he was considered a huge talent in South America. Now he's just gone off the radar because there wasn't a good sporting plan for him. So it's really important to see how United will do his development, will move, how they will develop him. And Cavani, maybe he can have a good influence on this, and maybe he can be a positive impact.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think Cavani will definitely keep an eye out for Pelistri. But Peñarol, a club who have developed and had many great players, but I've heard Real Madrid were looked at Pelistri in the past, Boca Juniors as well. But of course, Real Madrid signed Valverde from Peñarol in the past. And Uruguayan players, it's a small country, and yet an incredibly successful football nation. Maybe the relative to its size, the greatest football nation. What do you see elements of that in Pelistri, and what as a character from Cavani and Pelistri, what do you expect from Uruguayans like them?
Pelistri, I would categorize him as not a Uruguayan player. If you talk about how Uruguayan players normally are, you know, with the strong physically, but also real the dark arts of the game. But yeah, I mean, Forlan wasn't either, and he turned out all right. He's, all that you can see about him is he is talented, and he's got a potential to be a real good player. And yeah, just the sporting plan will be important for him if he reaches this. And Cavani,
yeah.
Cavani, it won't be due to a lack of work rate or work ethic for him. Qualities are also obvious, but it will be really important for him to stay fit. In his time off after the coronavirus or during the coronavirus, he's been working hard. So I think he will arrive in good shape. But you have to remember, he hasn't played a game of football since March. Yeah, there's a lot. And I mean, I don't hope it will affect a lot, but probably it will have an effect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you would imagine so. Just to finish up, thanks for your time, but there's a great quote from Riquelme on Pelistri, who he describes him as a real rascal with the ball at his feet. And he says, there aren't many like him around who have the courage to be so cheeky on the pitch. Does that sum up the kind of thing we can expect from Pelistri? As you drew the comparison with the early Cristiano Ronaldo, a lot of tricks, perhaps not so much end product or final ball, but an exciting player.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he will try things and it will be mad because you think, why have you done that? But he has the ability to do something that leaves you amazed, for sure. And all he needs is the confidence to go and do his thing. And then he can he can be real pleasing to the eye to watch for fans. Yeah, so that's a real plus side for him. Yeah.
Thanks to David for joining us. Before we talk about Alex Tellez, a small break to thank our sponsors for today's show, ExpressVPN, the number one VPN software that lets you watch films and shows that would normally only be available in other countries. It's like unlocking a whole new catalogue, whether you're at home or abroad. Last year, for example, I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina, just a ferry ride away from the home of Edison Cavani and Facundo Pellistri, and I could still watch The Office thanks to a VPN. It basically works by letting you change your online location so that you can control where you want a website to think that you're located. So if I wanted to watch a film or even a sporting event that was being shown only in the United States and I wanted to watch it from the UK, I could open up the ExpressVPN app, select the location I want, and just tap a button to connect, and suddenly I would be able to. You can choose from almost 100 different countries, and the biggest gain is probably on Netflix, where you can supercharge your Netflix subscription by being able to access different countries in just a couple of clicks. It does also work with BBC iPlayer, Hulu, YouTube, and many, many others. ExpressVPN is compatible with all of your devices, phones, laptops, computers, tablets, etc., even smart TVs as well. And not only does it let you watch your favorite shows and matches, but it encrypts your data while that happens, keeping your online self private and anonymous. So to get all of these benefits, go to expressvpn.com/Manchester to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Manchester to get ExpressVPN and help support this podcast. Cheers. On with the show. Okay, United made four signings on deadline day. We've gone through two of them specifically. Amad Diallo joins in January from Atalanta, so we'll come on to him another time. For now, though, we'll talk about the Portuguese left-back Alex Tellez, perhaps the player most likely to go straight into the first team at United. To tell us all about Tellez, a 27-year-old Brazilian fullback, here's Jamie Farr, who writes about Porto and other Portuguese teams for Portugal. So, first of all, he's kind of known for his offensive contribution from defence, and I guess that's what should probably excite United fans most about Alex Tellez. But his time at Porto, 4 years, started in strange fashion when I believe he was sent off after a terrible debut, but over the 4 years has definitely cemented himself as an important part of the team, and United fans should be excited about him.
Yeah, I think so. You're quite right. I think his first season or so did have a few bumps in the road. There was another red card incident as well, actually, in a Champions League game with against Juventus, I think it was, which really kind of put a bit of a block on his record. But he basically, for me, was a player who kind of steadily improved year on year, and seemed to be, the sort of player that had that particular desire to do so. Because I think he arrived at Porto with some question marks. I think he was sort of known in the game, but didn't maybe have the highest reputation, because I think he was with Inter and Galatasaray before, and maybe wasn't really able to kind of consistently nail down a position. But I think he's a lot more mature now, and does appear to be pretty desperate to make that next big step. So I think they're getting a player that is kind of close to his peak in many respects, but also is hungry to see what's next and to play at a higher level, because despite United's struggles at the moment, he's clearly making a significant step up.
Yeah, and as a player, United have their first choice left back for a while has been Luke Shaw, and I think most of us as United fans have frustrations with Shaw. Firstly, he was injury prone for some time, but he's had a consistent year or two in the team. And his attacking contribution is certainly not comparable to the great left backs of the era, which probably started with Marcelo and then has developed, and you've got the Liverpool fullbacks now as well. Tellez should offer something different to Shaw.
is he a good crosser of the ball? Does he rely on having a good centre back next to him? What can we expect in terms of strengths and weaknesses from him?
Well, I think, I would certainly say his crossing and in general set piece delivery, both in terms of assisting from, you know, corners and wider free kicks and scoring from free kicks is definitely up there with his biggest attributes, because he's got a really sort of, it feels like quite a particular technique as well, where he sort of imparts so much power and whip on the ball. It almost looks like he's going to kind of fall over sometimes with this particular sort of technique he uses, but it's extremely effective. And a team like Porto, one of their biggest strengths as a team was how dangerous they were from set pieces. And that was not only due to, you know, the height and powerful players they had to aim for. It was Tellez's sort of consistent delivery. You know, I can even remember, I think, on two separate occasions where he got three assists in the same game, which for a left back is obviously sort of highly unusual. I think offensively, that is the selling point of the player, and you know, I think defensively is not, you know, the strongest part of his game. But I think, and as you say, I think he's going to be an upgrade on Shaw in that area, because perhaps Shaw is a sort of player who's stagnated now and had his injury troubles. So I think fans can be excited about what he can bring offensively, because he's proven to be highly effective in those kind of areas consistently over the last 3 years or so.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear. And I guess he's a 27-year-old, and I think naturally for fans, including me, when I see United signing a 27-year-old who's played only a couple of times for their country, who's still playing in the Portuguese league, that there's always going to be kind of questions appearing in your head saying, well, why is that the case? But on the other hand, only in January did Bruno Fernandes come from Sporting Lisbon and at not too dissimilar age, having not had a great spell in Italy, perhaps like Alex Telles. And I guess it's, can we learn from the Fernandes experience? Is this a player who just took a while to settle into the European game, and is, can we rely upon it, his character and his quality now, and it's just a matter of him having a late flourish in his career?
Yeah, it's interesting that the parallels with Fernandes there, because obviously how quickly he settled and has become effective has kind of confounded a lot of people's expectations, I think, because you know, the Portuguese league is viewed, rightly in some respects and wrongly in others, it's obviously viewed as in that much lower a step, and that's always the biggest question mark is for players leaving that league, is whether they can bridge that gap. But I think Bruno was a slightly special case in the sense that what he's kind of proving now is that in Portugal he was viewed as a seriously special talent. So I think there's a lot of observers and people like myself who watch La Liga on a regular basis that haven't really been particularly surprised about how well Fernandes has done. So I would say Tellez is different in that regard, in the sense that, you know, we're not witnessing a particularly special talent in that bracket. But I think there are parallels with Fernandes in the sense of that hunger to get to that next level, and that perhaps a sense of outgrowing the Portuguese league. I think Tellez fits the mold in that respect. I think he has the attitude and the mentality to believe he can succeed at Premier League level. So whether he can adapt quickly, because as we said, you know, he was a little bit slow to hit the ground running at Porto, but then that was a very different player. So I think he's done a lot of maturing sort of mentally and within his game since then. I think he's got the tools to do it. And maybe even, you know, the sort of the situation Man United find himself in, that themselves in at the moment, might even help him in some respects, you know, to maybe take the pressure off fractionally to begin with. But yeah, as ever with these things, time will tell. But I think from what I've seen, the, you know, in terms of his mentality, I think he's equipped to settle into the league quickly.
Brilliant. It's all positive to hear. Thanks for giving your insight. Is there anywhere you want to plug on Twitter or website where you're writing for at the moment?
Yeah, I do. I've got a weekly feature for an English language Portuguese football website called Portugal. You can find it at portugal.net. And I do quite infrequently go on Twitter these days, but you can find me at FR Futureball Jamie.
Brilliant. Thank you. Okay, that wraps things up for today's episode. United did it in a pretty farcical manner and didn't sign any players in the so-called priority positions, but the players that have been signed are good ones. I hope you enjoyed the insight from our three guests, and thank you to Paul, Jamie and David for their time. That is it for today on the Manchester United Weekly Podcast, but later this week, Jack and I will be recording a bonus episode about United's transfers just for our patrons. If you've not yet heard, we've joined a website called Patreon, where so-called creators can offer extra content such as these bonus episodes to fans for a small amount of money. You can sign up right now by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Man United Weekly Pod. That's Man UTD Weekly Pod, P-O-D at the end there. Or you can just look up on Google Manchester United Weekly Podcast Patron and you'll find everything you need to know, all the links and all the information. You can choose to pay as little as 50p a week to support the show and get even more episodes like this. So later this week, Jack and I will give all of our thoughts on Telles, Cavani, Diallo and Palestri, as well as Jadon Sancho and the other missing names in that list. So sign up to become a patron today to hear that episode on Thursday or Friday of this week. Thank you to my guests and thank you to our sponsor ExpressVPN. Remember, you can go to expressvpn.com/Manchester for more information. And thanks to you for listening. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Network. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.